The title of this message is The Church, Submission or Rebellion. This message is based on Acts chapter 22, verses 30 to the end of the chapter, and chapter 23, verses 1 through 22. Listening time is approximately 29 minutes. The title of our message is The Church, Submission or Rebellion. Now, you probably see where I got that idea, or the Lord brought it out, is reading what's happening to Paul. Let's try to connect with what happened last week to Paul and what we just read about. As you remember, he had been falsely accused at the temple when he was there to celebrate the Feast of Pentecost, and he was falsely arrested because the crowd was stirred up against him, and so the Romans came down with their military group and sort of rescued Paul, but actually arrested him. And as they took him back to the garrison for safekeeping and then see what they're going to do with him, the mob followed, and he asked if he could give a little speech to that crowd, which was basically his history of his life, that he was born into a Pharisaic home, and he was a Pharisee of Pharisees, and at one point he was out trying to kill Christians. And then he had received Jesus Christ, and now he was zealous for the way to present their Messiah to them. And that basically was his defense until he got to the very end of that statement and said, "And then I was going to the Gentiles." When he mentioned Gentiles, they yelled, "Kill, kill, kill." And that's where he ended last week with them. So the Romans had taken him in and were going to put him in chains, which they did, and whip him. At that point, he said, "Is it lawful to whip a Roman citizen without a trial?" And now they were fearful because he was a Roman citizen, so they released the chains. And then they said, "Well, we better go down to the Jewish leaders, the priests, to find out what this skirmish is all about." They wanted to protect themselves. You've got to remember how Rome worked, because what went on in Judea was very important. They were trying to keep peace there. There'd already been a lot of uprising. Why? Because Jesus had come. And remember all the crowd problems, and probably things were starting to settle down, and now all of a sudden they're stirred up again. So that Roman commander, just as much as Pontius Pilate earlier, had wanted to appear to be doing the right thing, but he was protecting himself and his position, because if Rome heard about it, they were going to come down and chastise those people. So that's probably why the Roman commander was concerned about finding the truth, because he had a Roman citizen on his hand. And if Paul had not declared that, then we probably would have seen a little different fulfillment here. We just read about what happened. He goes before these leaders. And if you read into John, the Gospel of John, you see Jesus was speaking to these same people sometime earlier, before he had gone to the cross. And Jesus was giving very much the same message as Paul had given them. And so what did Paul say? Well, the first thing he said was that my family were all Pharisees. We were like you. And we were honest and pure conscience before God. And at that, the high priest gets angry and orders somebody to slap Paul in the face. So Paul responds by saying, God is going to slap you, and calls him like he's a whitewashed wall. We have to look closely at what this is all about, because that's what our message is really about, submission or rebellion. Was Paul submitted or was he rebelling? Let's take a look at the word submission. The word starts with the prefix S-U-B, which means under. You have to be under something, so what is it? We need to bring in the word authority. You're submitting to authority. Let's go back to the very, very beginning of things. Where does authority begin and end? Well, whether we like it or not, the authority is God. Heaven, earth, and under the earth, remember Jesus said before he ascended, had been given to him. That authority had been given by the Father. So the authority is in Jesus Christ being God in heaven, on earth, and under the earth. That means he's over Satan too and all of evil. Evil can only do so much. And you believe you've been given free will, and therefore you can do whatever you want. That isn't true. We have a limited free will, because you cannot will yourself to overcome gravity. God can't, because he has authority over gravity, over creation, everything he has authority over. So let's think in terms of our own lives regarding submission. If you have not submitted to the authority of God, how can you be saved? Salvation is not a natural thing. We didn't grow up believing in the authority of God without somebody teaching us the authority. And what did God do but give us the Bible, the scriptures? So that's an authority as well, because it is of God. It's not everything of God, but there's plenty in there for us to spend eternity almost dealing with, isn't there? The authority of God is really the issue. Now, how are you going to submit? There are many ways you can submit. You can submit by choice, reluctantly submit, or somebody's pointing a gun at you and asking you to submit. Islam means submission, but their idea of submission is, or else. That's not God's. We have a choice. God does not force us into submission to get us saved because of his love, grace, and mercy. He allows situations to occur to get us to learn that being under God's authority will bring us true peace, won't it? We really have freedom when we have submitted to the authority of God. Submission should be an only one-time thing, and I know some people disagree with me, but I want to bring in the word surrender. Surrender is a lifelong process. That means to give up. Give something, turn it over. Submission is saying that I honor the authority, I accept the authority. That's what submission is. But then surrendering to the will of God as he reveals it to you. God's not going to expect you to surrender something that you don't even know. So he's going to be pointing out things in your life that you should surrender. And he may call upon you to surrender something today, but he's not calling somebody else here to surrender. Because what is he going to do? That which gets between us and God is what he's going to want to have us surrender. What was Paul doing there? What was Paul's authority? He said over and over again, his authority was God. And the high priest got all upset because he thought he was the authority. So there's an authority issue. Have you ever heard of lordship salvation? People want Jesus Christ to be their Savior, and Jesus means Savior, but remember, he's God too. You want to submit to the authority of God so that he is the Lord of your life, not just your Savior. It's a serious thing if you are not going to accept the lordship of God. But he is the authority. But it is authority with positive things. Just think of that song we sang about the sparrow. Why does he use the word sparrow? Sparrows are very common birds. Now, there's not a song about the hairs on your head, but that goes with the sparrow, by the way. Right? He says he knows when every sparrow falls or dies, and he knows every hair on our head. Now, with some of us, there's probably more hair to deal with than others, but I think he was talking about the hair when you had a lot of hair. What is God saying? A hair is a very minute thing, and sparrows are very common, and there are a lot of them. God's saying detail. That's all that's really saying, is that God tends to detail, and if he created you in his image, don't you think that God is going to be very, very concerned about everything in your life? Well, he really is. But if we don't have that submission to the authority of God, then how are you going to surrender? And as a parent, you can probably remember raising your children, or when you were a child, fighting the authority. Isn't that where the fight comes in the battle? Who's in charge? Who's the authority? You see that in all aspects of life. So was Paul being rebellious? No, he wasn't. He stated the truth. He just said that he and his family tried to be honest before God. That's all he told the high priest and those around him. And the high priest says, well, slap his face. Dishonor him. Now, when Paul comes back, is he retaliating? Is he being rebellious by saying that God is going to slap your face? I don't think so. Because he is warning, because Paul was under the authority of God, he was speaking God's authority to to that priest to warn him, because retribution is going to come from God. And he was already in trouble because he had already denied God himself in the flesh, hadn't he? You are here for that DVD on the Gospel of John over and over again. Jesus was literally in their face trying to tell them that I am God and I'm doing what I've been called to do. See, Jesus Christ was under the authority of the Father. He wasn't under his own authority. So if Jesus Christ being God is going to be under the authority of God the Father, then why should we question that authority? So he wasn't rebellious. But the high priest was. He definitely was rebellious. But out of love, Paul was warning him. Out of love, God warns us so that rebellion doesn't continue. What did it say in Proverbs 29:1? After many rebukes, no repentance will come, sudden destruction from which there is no remedy. There's a point where God says, that's it. I've spoken to you, I've sent my messengers, and that is it. We don't ever get into a situation like that. Well, what happened after that with Paul? What's this whitewashed wall all about? There's another verse in the Bible where Jesus calls the Pharisees vipers, and he calls them like they're whitewashed sepulchres. In other words, tombs. The tomb is beautifully washed on the outside, white and beautiful and clean and like purity, but they're rotting bones and corpses inside. So what does Jesus say? It's a spiritual message. He said, you may look good on the outside, priest. You got all that fancy garb on, you're clean and you're really looking great, but you're rotten on the inside because you whitewashed it. See, what Jesus Christ does is what? Unveil us. He doesn't come and whitewash us, does he? He looks on the inside. That's what God does. God's not that concerned about the outside. Do you know that? Because once the inside changes, it will work its way out. It's called what? Internal transformation. That's what God does. You see it over and over again why people have difficulty. I'm going to use this example. It's not pointing out anybody. But people that are on a particular diet because they want to lose weight, or the doctor said you have to lose weight. If you don't have the right attitude internally about this whole thing, you're going to be going up and down like a yo-yo. And I know people that will lose weight, and then they gain more than they had lost, and now they weigh more than they started. And then they go down, and then they come up a little higher. Why? Because their attitude hasn't changed. The internal is the same with their attitude towards food or whatever it is that's driving them to eat when they shouldn't eat, how much they should eat, what they should eat, and whatever. Not that we're to worship the body, but the body is the temple. We don't want to get in a battle with that. So surrendering being an ongoing thing, but once something has a hold of you, then you have submitted to it. Every addiction you have submitted to, you have given authority to liquor, if you're abusing liquor. If you have a sexual addiction, whatever the addiction is, gossip, slander, whatever, you have submitted to that authority. And how many authorities can you be under at the same time? One. You're either going to be under the authority of God or under the authority of the world, and you can say the world, the devil, of your flesh, the old nature, your selfishness, self-centeredness, whatever it be. But it's either God or it's not God. Now, God doesn't expect perfection, does he? No, because in Christ, you are perfect because God the Father looks at Jesus Christ when he's looking at you. He sees Christ because he knows that someday you will be totally perfected. But your spirit is, it was born again, anew, total perfection. And nobody has to look at the body and guess whether it's getting better and more perfect. But someday you'll have that Adam and Eve body, only glorified like Jesus Christ's body. So don't worship body and get all upset about it. But that soul, that's what needs to be surrendering. Because then everything else comes in line. So how do you surrender? Think about it this way. Something that you really feel you can't give up because your life is going to be uncomfortable. You won't have joy in your life. I went through that when I first got saved. Something to my lifestyle. I thought, well, I knew I was had to give it up or should give it up. God gave me a year of total peace about the whole thing without any temptations. And then finally, one evening, and I think it was a year later to the day hour of my salvation, and said, okay, here's the verse he said, whatever I've asked you to do, and that is doing it willfully, I will do. Now think about that verse. Whatever God requires of us, he knows is for our best interest. He said, I will do it. And so I thought, I knew that verse, but it wasn't in my heart yet. And I said, okay, God, here I go. Release. And the ceiling opened. Now, this is the vision that happened to me, you can believe it or not, at night. And I saw all the stars. And God said, see, I know every one of those. I have them all in perfect control and everything. Paul, you can trust me with your life. And as I bring things up to you, you can release them to me. You can surrender to them, me. Because once they're in my hands, you're safe. You're safe. Do you want to be driving down the street and no one had their hands on the steering wheel of your car? That's what it amounts to. And God says, let me put my hands on there. No one's got their hands. You think you have a control? We don't have control. We're actually surrendering something that we really don't have control over, but we think we have control, don't we? Because Satan works on our mind to get us to think we have control. Most anxiety and fear that comes to people comes with the idea that I'm going to lose control. I'm going to get up in front of a group of people and I can't remember what I'm going to say. That could happen to me all the time. Sometimes I forget the title of the message. But if God wants me to do it, I step up and just start going. It may be the same thing of you going to the store and going shopping and get a fearful of crowds, and all kinds of things can happen. But you really don't have control. You think you have control. The enemy wants you to think you have control. And that's what happens when you move towards addictions. The enemy gets you to think that you're in control, and at some point it flip-flops where he's in control, making you believe you are in control. And that's why it's so hard to counsel and deal with people, because you have to get them to believe you don't have control. You never did have control. And don't fear if it's taken away. But God's not going to take it away unless you release it. Think of your hands clutching something. Think of this analogy that someone's on a cliff and they're hanging there, just grabbing as hard as they can, and their fingers are getting sore. And what did they say? I can't hang on any longer. I remember counseling somebody like this, that I just can't hang on any longer with my faith and trust in God and the way things are going in my life. I can't hang on any longer. And I said, well, I remember a pastor telling me once, let go. Let go. Now that sounds awful to somebody hanging on a cliff to say, let go. Why? Because you're already in the hands of God. But the enemy in your mind has played a trick on you to get you to think that it's you and only you. And you have to keep hanging on until a friend comes by or whatever to help you. When God says, relax, let go, and you're already in his hands. If we don't trust God because we've never fully submitted to God's authority, then you're going to have that fear issue. So go back and submit. And think about that. That God has control. He created everything. He's got control over it. He allows certain things to happen. You don't have control. So why try to trust yourself? It doesn't mean you just let go of the steering wheel if you're literally driving down the road and telling God to grab the wheel. That's not what I'm saying at all. God wants us to be involved, but he wants the order to be there. He wants us to recognize that he is the authority, but he wants the authority in your life. Just think about raising children. It's very much the same concept, isn't it? That your children go through stages that you have to discipline them to show them that you are the authority. Otherwise, I'll tell you, if you try to work with parents and help them with kids that they have control, have you ever been in a home where the kids have control? It's totally out of control. It's a horrible situation. You can't love children that you don't discipline. And God wouldn't love us if he didn't discipline us. But his discipline is perfect. And what is he doing is trying to show us that our way didn't work very well. Are you now ready to release it, to surrender that to me? Now, here's where people really go wrong. I've heard people say, well, I left it at the altar and walked away, and I still have that problem. What do you mean you left it at the altar? Is God symbolic of this table? He's a lot bigger than that, but let's say that's what you're saying. Okay, here's God. I left it with God, and I walked away. Is that what God says in our life, that we're to walk away from him? No, he dwells within us. Psalm 23, that's not a funeral thing. When it says walking through the valley of the shadow of death, that's what's really happening. But you're walking through there with God in hand. It's God with you. So what you're doing is really surrendering. Say, God, I give you permission to work on this in my life. And then start looking for how God's going to do it. And I'll guarantee you one thing is going to happen. Let's just take patience. I worked with a young college guy at another church in a ministry. And every week in Bible study, he had road rage. A nice, quiet guy in the Bible study, but boy, behind the wheel, he had road rage. He didn't like anybody cutting him off. And he said, I pray for patience every week, and it's getting worse. I said, are you tired of that? Because I've been watching that, and I haven't felt I should intervene, but do you want to have a word from the Lord on this? He said, yeah, I'm desperate. I said, well, when you pray for patience, you're really saying, God, put me in situations where I'm going to be impatient. How are you going to learn patience unless you're in impatient situations? Does that make sense? How can you learn to drive the car sitting and reading a book? There's a point you've got to get behind the wheel. And that's what God is saying here. So I said, let's look at it biblically. Don't pray for patience, because that's one of the fruit of the Spirit, that God's trying to get us all into patience and self-control. That's one of the plans that God has. So what you should be praying for? You have to think about, what are you really going to pray for if you're praying for patience? Praying that I get out from myself, I start thinking about the other drivers, and I start submitting my car to theirs. If they start to cut in, fine, back off, let them in. Smile to yourself. Say, praise the Lord. Start praising the Lord. And after a while, it may happen, but you're not even aware it's really happening because you're driving relaxed. Really? So I said, okay, how about trying it this week? Boy came back next week. He said, why didn't you tell me that 6 weeks ago? I said, but Jason, if I told you 6 weeks ago, you weren't ready, were you? I don't think you would have believed me. So God knows when it's time. I believe that I was hopefully listening to God and didn't put him through any more punishment or whatever. But can you see the analogy of that whole thing, how God works? So you got to be careful what you pray for, because God has a program. But it is releasing yourself to God and leaving the circumstances to him and then being in tune to what's going on. When is it being rebellious? Just think about this. All rebellion against the authority of God is against God. If God has put somebody at work over you as a supervisor, and they're not violating Scripture, and you're rebellious to God. You know that as a believer? That he establishes authority. He establishes a nation. We may not like people in elected positions, but we should honor the authority of that office and respect it, because then we're respecting our nation, we're respecting ourselves. Rebellion has nothing to do with whether you agree with everything or not. Rebellion has to do with authority and how you go about things. Do you talk to the person in authority, or do you run a circle around and talk to their supervisor, or do you gossip about them or do whatever else? So see, this relates directly to everything in life. And there are times that you have to circumvent that earthly authority because it's not of God. Well, it can be evil. You try to respect to a point, but you're not going to submit to do something that is against God. I'll give you one example here in closing. I went to a youth ranch looking into the possibility of being the director years ago. One of the young men who was in charge of one of the group homes said to me, I have to go to a nearby town and pick up some parts. Will you ride with me? I need to talk to somebody. And he was telling me about the man who owned it, ran that mission. He said, he told me to take all these new blue jeans that someone had donated. He said, I'm talking about maybe 100. Take him out of the shed because he wanted to use it for a storage room for something else. Take it out in the field and pour gasoline on it and light it on fire. Get rid of him. And he said, I told him, now remember that's his authority, let me take it into Omaha the next time I go to pick up somebody and donate it to a mission there. He said, somebody gave this in good faith. This is God's resources. He said, no, honor me, under the authority, you go out and do it. So he told me this is what he did. He said, I told the boy, take the jeans out in the field and then leave. He said, I took a gas can out there and a book of matches. And I went and called them up. I said, the jeans are in the field, the gasoline's there, the matches are there, but you're going to have to light the fire. And I said, amen, brother. I believe you handled it the way God would want it. He was submissive to that authority, but he did not carry out the act. That, to me, that's perfectly biblical. There are times of difficult decisions, and I'm sure Paul had difficult decisions as well. But remember, God looks at the heart, and that's the issue of the whole thing. But I hope you have submitted to the authority of God once and for all and don't have to keep doing it. Just deal with surrendering to God the very things in your life that he brings up and when he brings them up. And don't get all upset if you struggle with it. God's patient. God's gentle, right? Yes. He has demonstrated the fruit of the Spirit. He's not going to bring that out in us if he's going to turn around and violate his own word. Dear Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word of truth. Father, and to recognize that, well, when we submit to your authority, Lord, that we're opening the door for total peace, for eternity with you, our salvation, which can never be terminated, and that you're going to come in and work on our life and conform us to the image of Jesus Christ. Father, we want to bend our knee and confess that Jesus Christ is Lord out of choice, out of love. Not like people in the tribulation will be doing out of fear and anger and bitterness towards you, Father, because they don't want the return of Jesus Christ. The enemy and our flesh can be so convincing about this whole idea of authority. But Father, you can break through, and you've demonstrated over and over and over in your word that when there is authority that's in proper order, you first, that other things fall into place. And we can have harmony and peace and joy with each other. And yet everybody in this room is diverse in a different way. We all have different personalities. But in Christ, we can have that unity. Why? Because if we have submitted to your authority, God, then we can have that unity within our diversities. And we can even have disagreement in peace without sinning. And that's what you want for us, Father. For I pray that be the case for each and every one of us here, that we have submitted to your authority, and that as you call us, we're willing to surrender whatever it be. Because by giving up that which is no good for us, then you can fill us with yourself, the Holy Spirit, more and more than he has control in our life. We thank you for that, Father. Thank you for everyone who came this evening. Grant them the peace and joy of their salvation that only you can do. In the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, amen.